This edition of The Standard is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
From London, I'm John Weeks, and this is The Standard. Londoners in almost half of the capital's boroughs are set to pay average council tax bills higher than £2,000 per year. It's being called London's council tax bombshell and means residents in 15 of the capital's 33 local authorities will be charged that amount from next month if they're living in Band D properties or higher. Figures released today show the highest bill will be in Kingston, charging £2,374 for the year, while the cheapest will be found in Wandsworth, which has frozen its portion of council tax, leaving residents with a standard bill of £961. That £2,000 average cost, though, is approximately £700 more than Bandy residents were paying a decade ago. The yearly price rises follow years of austerity, but in January the government did announce an additional £600 million support package for councils across England. So, it's yet another price increase to worry about in the ongoing cost of living crisis. But having passed this landmark figure, what can be done to help councils keep their tax down? And why are we seeing such high costs for our basic services? Joining me now is our local democracy reporter, Noah Vickers. So, Noah, another council tax rise, another rise in our monthly costs. It's not what people want to hear, really, is it?
No, it's not. We knew that this rise was coming. We'd been able to see, as councils have been shaping their budgets over the last few months, that there were going to be some increases happening basically across the board. Councils are limited in how much they can increase council tax by, and it looked like pretty much all of them, or almost all of them, were going to be going for that maximum increase. So we knew that this was coming, but now we're able to see definitively the list of councils, how much they're going up by, and we can see that the number of councils in which a typical bill would be upwards of £2,000 a year has almost doubled from 8 boroughs to 15.
And what's the situation facing London councils at the moment? Presumably many of them are struggling financially, as we're seeing across the country.
Yeah, I mean, councils, as you say, nationally are in, you know, suffering real difficulties in terms of raising revenues. They're also coming up against some challenges that they haven't really seen before, particularly in London in terms of homelessness levels. Rents are going up. Inflation has been, you know, affecting all sorts of sectors of the economy. And in terms of people's private rents, lots of people are presenting themselves as homeless at local councils. They're saying we don't have any other option and we're in need of emergency accommodation. And that's a huge cost for London councils in particular. London has an enormous proportion of the country's homeless population, and there simply isn't the stock to house them. So councils are having to resort to putting people up in bed and breakfast accommodation, in kind of cheap hotels. But that's not, despite the name, it's not cheap. It's a huge cost for local authorities who are also grappling with all sorts of other pressures like social care.
And do we know of any councils in London, Noah, that are sort of staring down the barrel of bankruptcy like we've seen in places like Birmingham?
Well, we know most recently that Havering had to declare itself basically on the point of bankruptcy. Councils aren't actually sort of allowed to go bankrupt. They have to sort of announce when they're on the verge of going bankrupt and then ask the government for help. Havering had to request a £50+ million loan from the Department for Levelling Up, Housing and Communities, which was granted, but only after they'd set out an action plan through which they would cut costs as much as they possibly could. We're talking about scaling back things like Christmas decorations not being funded by the council, bin collections being looked at, and even the brightness of streetlights possibly being dimmed, all in a bid to cut costs.
And it looks like Wandsworth takes the crown this year as the council with the cheapest council tax. That's compared to Kingston, which costs over £1,000 more. Why is there such a disparity?
It's a great question. Local government in the UK is very messy in terms of how it's organised, but arguably even messier in terms of how it raises its funding. And the interesting, you know, situation with Kingston and Wandsworth is that they are literally right next door to one another. So you have a border where, you know, one street over, you might be paying twice as much council tax as your neighbour. There are a variety of reasons why councils are in sort of different financial positions to one another. It has a lot to do with how they've raised money in the past, how they've been run over several decades. Also, how much they're able to collect in terms of business rates. That can vary quite significantly from council to council. And it will also depend on what investments they've made. Some councils have made quite wise investments and they've managed to raise money or hold on to funding over the longer term that way. Obviously, there have also been cases where councils have made very unwise investments, as we saw in Woking in Surrey or Thurrock in Essex, and the government has had to step in there.
Let's take a quick break now. Coming up in part two.
And this could be one of the biggest kind of headaches for an incoming Labour administration if they are to win the next general election. It can't really be fixed without changing the entire way that local government is funded.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
And Wandsworth itself being the cheapest will probably promote the fact that it's a Labour-run council. And I know it's a card that parties like to play, certainly in the run-up to a general election. I mean, how big a role do you think how well different councils have done will play when it comes to the general election?
Well, Labour showing off about having, now the cheapest council tax in London and I believe the country, you know, people will point out that it has been conservative for decades and decades, upwards of 40 years. But keeping council tax low is something that Labour in Wandsworth have been really sort of committed to. It's something that they arguably won the election on in 2022 when they took control of the council. It was a really big issue for voters because lots of people there do know that their council tax is very low compared to other parts of the country. And Wandsworth was, in fact, Margaret Thatcher's favourite council. She was really impressed by the way that the Conservative Council ran its books, ran its services. People on, you know, within Labour would have pointed out that it ran fewer services, perhaps, than other councils do. And so there were other ways in which it was balancing the books. But certainly keeping council tax low is a really big priority for the Labour administration there because they know that their chances of being re-elected are likely contingent on that point. Wandsworth actually have picked Westminster to the post this year in having the cheapest council tax in the country.
We know in December, Sadiq Khan sort of announced he was hiking up his share of council tax by 8.6%. How big a part is that of this overall rise for London councils?
So, yeah, his council tax, since he's been elected in 2016, his council tax has gone up 70%. And it's increased by almost £200 since 2016. So back then, I believe it was about £275, £76 a year. That's now £471 that he's going to be charging over the coming financial year to Londoners. I was, in fact, just talking to him and asking him about that, asking, you know, if he's re-elected, how much further could council tax go under a third term for Sadiq Khan? He said that, you know, he's been forced to make those increases because of a lack of government funding. He's argued that, you know, this is money that's really needed by a range of really important cross-London services like Transport for London, like the London Fire Brigade, but most importantly, the Met Police. The amount of funding that the Met Police receives from City Hall has increased significantly since when he first became mayor. In fact, so if you think of it like a pie chart, the amount that comes from City Hall has got a lot bigger since then.
And the Local Government Association says English councils are facing a £4 billion funding gap over the next 2 years. They are actually going to need quite a lot of support based on those figures, aren't they?
Absolutely. And this could be one of the biggest kind of headaches for an incoming Labour administration if they are to win the next general election. They've talked about council tax being a big burden on working families. But at the same time, you know, it can't really be fixed without changing the entire way that local government is funded. That's the difficulty. And no government for decades has basically kind of stepped up to the plate in terms of delivering that reform. Most people agree that it's not a sustainable way of funding local authorities. They need to be able to raise revenues in a way that's actually going to, you know, mean they can continue to provide services. So it's a huge issue for the government nationally, and it will continue to be.
And in terms of how government can support councils outside of extra funding, what other levers are there for the government to pull to help the councils, I suppose, survive really in the coming years?
In very exceptional circumstances, councils have been allowed to raise council tax by a higher amount than they normally would be. So the limit for borough councils in London is 5%, or technically 4.99%. And if they want to go any higher than that, they actually have to hold a local referendum where they ask their residents, you know, do you want us to increase, can we increase council tax by a larger amount? As far as I'm aware, that's not happened, because obviously that would be an extremely difficult referendum to win with local people that already feel like they're paying enormous amounts each month. But in terms of support, they can provide loans in exceptional circumstances, as we saw in Havering. And again, you know, those loans, you know, they need to be paid back with interest. So it's not as if there's an enormous amount of support for councils that are struggling. They're basically required to demonstrate that they've made as many cuts as they possibly can while still providing core services.
Pick up the Evening Standard newspaper for more news, interviews and analysis, or head to standard.co.uk. Thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.